preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Think about these words this morning. Think about what He's done for you. Worship Jesus. Him alone. He is the only one worthy.
You came from heaven. Great heaven.
We praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, the Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world, Lord. Rose from the dead on the third day, and you said, Lord, if we would believe, we would believe the gospel, if we would repent of our sins, and we would make Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lord of our lives, that you would wash our sins away. Lord, that you would save us, and if we would continue in that relationship, continue in that walk, we would endure to the end, we would be saved for all eternity. God, we thank you for that this morning, the truth of the gospel. Praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome you to Fire and Grace Church, those listening by Blog Talk Radio. We welcome you as well. I want everybody to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4 is where we're going to start. Kevin, in those in that email I sent you, there's a link to an article, and also at the bottom of the page, a link to a video. You can just get those ready. You don't have to put those up at the moment. John chapter 4 this morning. The title of my message this morning is very simple. The idolatry of Pope Francis and the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope has visited America, Cuba, and then America. And I knew it was going to be quite the spectacle of idolatry. Man worship, idolatry worship, and yes, even Mary worship. We're going to discuss this in great depth this morning. Because the war that's in the world, the war over you, the war is over who you will worship. The war is over worship. You need to understand that. Most of us don't even understand what worship is. Neither do we understand the definition of the sin of idolatry. If we did, there wouldn't be so many Christians and people who call themselves Christians participating in idolatry and rejoicing in idolatry. I'm going to show you in the scriptures, and I'm going to show you that idolatry is really one of the things that God hates the most. And a lot of people will say, well, wait a minute now. Don't we all do this? We may all have at one point or another. But I'm going to show you this morning, the Bible says the habitual practitioners of idolatry will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we're going to address the Roman Catholic Church this morning because we've seen millions and millions of people crying their eyeballs out over a man, wanting him to touch them, wanting him to pass by them. People in the streets weeping over this man dressed in religious robes. And this man himself is an idolater. He is a hypocrite of hypocrites. He is the false prophet of false prophets. He is not even going to heaven when he dies, unless he repents of his idolatry and his blasphemy of the gospel. You know, it's not just what Pope Francis said while he was here in America, because it's all for show. not just what he said, because I watched a lot of it. Not what he said, just what he said, but it's a lot of what he didn't say. Here's a man who's supposed to represent Christianity. He's supposed to be the head of the church, according to 1 billion plus people. Though he's not. We'll address that too in a minute. But not one time did he ever say or preach, when he had the audience of America and the world, not once did he say, you must believe and you must repent and you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, or you will be lost in eternity. He never preached the basic gospel of the cross. In fact, he said, and there's a video of him saying it very clearly, that when Jesus went to the cross, it was a failure. Folks, I want to tell you something. The Bible forewarned that in the last days there would come false Christ and false prophets. They would say, I am Christ. Do you know that the popes say that they are Christ on earth? Do you know that? It's in Catholic doctrine. Pope after pope after pope has declared it. And you know, of course, within Catholic theology and doctrine, once a pope declares it, that's the way it is. It doesn't matter what the Bible says anymore. In fact, they even admit it doesn't matter what the Bible says. Pope says it, that's it. How 1 billion people could fall for this is mind-boggling. But it's not just the 1 billion plus that are Roman, identify themselves as Roman Catholics, but I watched American Christians like Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, T.D. Jakes, slobbering at the mouth and going weak in the knees like little schoolgirls over their famous rock star that comes around. These are men who are supposed to be people who believe the Bible, who preach the Bible, who stand for God's Word. Instead, they are fawning over, slobbering over, bowing down to a man who is clearly, and I'm going to show you this morning, he is an idol-worshipping idolater. He kisses statues. He bows to statues. He puts flowers at statues of Mary. This is the very definition of idolatry. If we're not going to define idolatry, if we're not going to say this is idolatry, then it doesn't exist. Then we just need to scratch that word out of the Bible. Now, why am I fired up about this? Because I'm watching not just Roman Catholics be deceived and led into hell by this man, and the bishops, and the cardinals, and the priests, and the nuns. And if any of you think for one second that Fox News is an unbiased news agent, please understand that nearly everyone, every anchor of Fox News, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Murdoch, almost all of them, the men and women, are Roman Catholics. That's why you heard them call him the blasphemous name, Holy Father. Do you know that Holy Father is only used one time in the Bible, and it's when Jesus was praying to God Almighty, his Father? How dare any human being allow themselves to be called Holy Father? Blasphemy. How dare any person call themselves literally the vicar of Christ, the Christ on earth, with the same authority as Christ? Who doesn't think that this is the absolute insanity of this world? Jesus warned, many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. That's what he said in Matthew 20. They will even do great signs and wonders. I'm getting ready soon. Pope Francis is going to do some miracles. And more people are going to believe he is from God. He is not. I want you to look at this. John chapter 4. Let's look at worship here. You got that? Okay. Let's read a little bit of this story here. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and the drink thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Everybody say this. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. And you can say this too. I will worship something or someone. Let's look at the term for worship. I'm going to give two definitions here. First, the Hebrew definition in the Old Testament. The definition of worship here says to prostrate, especially reflexively in homage to royalty or God, bow, self down, crouch, fall down flat, humbly beseech, do reverence, stoop, basically to bow. The Greek word for worship here, proskuneo, I guess that's how you say that. Meaning here is, in the Greek, Strong's Greek Dictionary, it's the meaning to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand, to fawn or to crouch, literally to prostrate, which means to lay down in homage, to do reverence to adore, to worship. Now, I want you to pay attention particularly to this New Testament word, and we're going to stay primarily in the New Testament today. But notice he talks about this word worship, and remember, Greek and Hebrew words always paint a picture. They always give you an illustration of what they're talking about. So the illustration of worship that they give you is like a dog licking his master's hand to kiss something. But it also, a good picture of worship is to, again, bow. And a bow can go from just bowing your head to bowing your body to prostrating yourself on the ground, laying down flat on the ground. These things are acts of worship. Do you hear me?
This is New Testament definition of worship. Now let's move on. We have here, I want to put up the definition of idolatry, an idol. Now the Greek word for idolatry sounds very much the same in Greek, idolatria, right? The Greek word here means image worship. So if we correctly look at this word worship, it means to kiss, to bow, to prostrate oneself, to pay reverence to. In doing so, these things are acts of worship. So if you bow, kiss, prostrate oneself before an image, you are worshiping that image. Buddhists do it. When they are before a statue of Buddha, they'll put their hands together and they'll bow their head before Buddha. Right? That is an act of worship. It's an act of reverence. According to the Bible, I don't care what anybody else says. Yoga, all positions of yoga are bows to the sun, the sun god. Okay? Yoga is an act of worship to the sun god, which is really Satan. All right? So when we see here, image, let's look at the next thing. I think I have the Greek definition for idol as well. An idol, pretty much from the same base word, but an image that is to be served or worshiped literally or figuratively. Okay? Image worship. Now, I'm going to, let's put up the article that I sent you there. I'm just going to read it here. Huh? Yeah. It's the same article, but you can bring it up, we'll bring it up in two places just to show that these are Catholic news agencies here. What does it say? This here is the Crux, covering all things Catholic. Here's, it says, mother and son, Pope Francis has a personal, intimate devotion to Mary. Here, Pope Francis is holding an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe aboard the papal flight to Brazil. In this July 22, 2013 file, the Pope is deeply devoted to Mary and often expresses his devotion by praying in front of Marian statues and then gently touching them. Let's keep reading this. He says, this is from Vatican City. From Easter to Pentecost, especially during the Marian month of May, Catholics recite Regina Coeli or whatever. I may read that in a minute. A prayer with emotion of children who are happy because the mother is happy that Jesus has risen from the dead, Pope Francis says. Although his devotion to the Mother God is is profound, it is simple in many ways. Mary is the mother to every believer. Jesus would not leave his followers as orphans. This is meaning that Jesus' followers need this relationship with Mary. He says, while his connection to Mary clearly is a matter of heart and mind, it is also physical. Whenever Pope Francis passes a statue or icon, which is a picture or image of Mary, he kisses it or allows his hand to rest tenderly upon it. Catholic News Agency. Kissing a statue is worshiping that statue or that image. You understand? According to the Bible. Now, you want to throw the Bible out, then go have fun with images and statues of whatever you want. You want to be an idolater? Be an idolater. But don't call yourself a Christian and say that this is okay. Because this is not okay. He says, honoring, I love how they changed the word, honoring, which means showing reverence. The Mother of God, of course, is a solid part of Catholic tradition and a mainstay in the devotion and teaching of the popes. St. John Paul, or Paul II, John Paul II's motto, totus tuus, or whatever, all yours, and the large M on his coat of arms were just the most graphic elements of a devotion that led to a whole body of teaching about Mary and her role in Catholics' faith and life and the importance of praying the rosary. Pope Francis would not have an argument with any of Pope John Paul II's teaching or discourse on Mary. Pope John Paul II, when he was shot by the Muslim in 1981, didn't give credit to Jesus for saving him from death, from the assassin's bullet. He gave the credit to Mary for saving him. Then they go on to talk about how Pope Francis' devotion to Mary is a little more personal and intimate than even John Paul II was. Throw up the other, just so you know, it's not just this crux now, but the other article. It's the same article, but it was published in the National Catholic Reporter. You see it? Same article. Admitting that Pope Francis kisses these statues of Mary. Now, the reason I bring this up, matter of fact, if you can, go to my Facebook page, my personal one. You may have to scroll down a bit. But I took a little video myself of Pope's visit to America while I was watching it the other day, and I just sat in front of the TV with my phone, took a little video. YouTube wouldn't let me load it up. Imagine that. So I just loaded it up direct from my phone to Facebook. But I want to show you Pope Francis going, when he leaves his address to Congress, he goes to one of these Roman Catholic cathedrals, and he goes up and he bows and he lays some flowers at the feet of this statue of Mary. And then he stands there for a moment. Then you will see him bow his head. And then you see him. We're going to play it. We're going to play the whole thing. Hold on. Then you see him bow his head and them talk about it. Now, let me, before we view this, let me help you understand something. Is there anywhere in the Bible, anywhere in Scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, where believers, God's people, God's children, are instructed to take flowers or food or anything as an offering before an image, a statue of anything? No. But you know where it is practiced? Do you know what religions take flowers before statues and lay them before statues? Hinduism, Buddhism. And do you know that Hinduism and Buddhism was in existence long before the Roman Catholic Church came in? All right? Now you will see him in this video. He will carry a bouquet of yellow flowers, which is representing the color. You know, the color of the papacy is yellow and white. That's the flag of the Pope. And he takes yellow flowers and he lays them there and he bows his head. So I want to show you, of course, I have a little commentary in this as well because it was very obvious. But remember, as believers, and especially as pastors, shepherds, leaders in the church, all shepherds, and we're supposed to be an example to our flock. That's the instruction Peter gave in 1 Peter chapter 5, be examples to the flock. Paul told Timothy the same thing, be an example of the believers, right? So the example Pope Francis is giving to all of America and the world, because the world is watching this, but he's leading all Catholics to believe that it's okay to offer flowers, to bow. There's videos of him doing incense, to kiss the statues of Mary. Watch the clip here.
We don't know who that person was, whether or not he was part of that, obviously, the children that were there. He gave the Pope a big bear hug. The Pope hugged him right back. But then he proceeded to try to kind of touch the Pope, give him, you know, a pat on the back, John. And that's when he actually saw the Vatican police just sort of slide in and say, just back up a little bit. That, see, that was taking him so stood up. That's about all I've seen so far as any sense of being uncomfortable on this trip where there's a lot of different variables.
Let's listen for just a moment as the Pope makes his way up as the stairs being St. Patrick.
Here we have the Pope about to lay flowers at the feet of the statue of the Virgin Mary, which is an act of worship. He will bow his head. Clearly, idolatry, breaking of the second commandment, will bow for a graven image. Example to America is one of idolatry, false religion, false Christianity. Is a false prophet. There he bows his head before the statue of the Virgin Mary. The idolatry of the Roman Catholic Church continues. There you have it. Moment of worship.
That's good. Now, as we look at that, there are a lot of Catholics who argue that they don't worship Mary. But I tell you this much. What I've discovered is in Central America and South America, Cuba, they don't hide it. That video that I have there, I want you to play it. It's about a minute long. This is Cuban, and the narrator of this video is Catholic, and he's talking about they worship Mary, and the Catholics in Cuba will plainly say this is right before the Pope visited Cuba, right before he came here, and he says, they say plainly, we worship Mary, worship. I'm just, let their own words incriminate them, all right? Got it, brother? All right. Good for you to see this, not just hear it. Thank you. You got it muted.
The Lady of Charity has been the patroness of Cuba since 1915, and its basilica in Santiago is considered the most important Christian place of worship on the island.
You need to back it up. You need to back it up.
At the end of the month.
Go to the beginning.
This is the most worshipped symbol for Cuban Catholics on the island. Our Lady of Charity has been the patroness of Cuba since 1915, and its basilica in Santiago is considered the most important Christian place of worship on the island. The visit of the Pontiff to Cuba at the end of the month has reopened the issue of Catholicism in the country, a taboo since the Communist Revolution.
Esa es mi madre, por eso yo vengo, yo soy de Boca, la familia del Pobre. Yo no nací en esa creencia, pero bueno, yo soy cubano.
He said, Cubans worship Our Lady of Charity.
Pope Francis will visit this basilica on the 21st of September. Legend has it that in 1612, two young slaves found an image of the Virgin off the coast of Mississippi Bay. On Earth, finding, they built the basilica here. Despite communism, nearly 7 million people, 60% of Cuba's population, are estimated to be Catholic today.
And there you have it. Now, I don't even have to get into this morning that the Roman Catholics call Mary the Queen of Heaven. They call her the mediator
In fact, they even call her, they even say that if you don't go through Mary, you cannot go to Jesus. I've got all the quotes. Matter of fact, I could spend all morning going through the quotes from popes on this subject. It's indisputable from their own words. Did you hear the Catholic narrator of the video? This is the most worshipped image on the island of Cuba. Do not tell me that Roman Catholicism in its teachings on Mary and the Pope and the saints and the angels, don't tell me it's not idolatry. It is the very definition of the term. Now let's look at what the Bible says about idolatry. Let's show you this. Go to Revelation 21. We're going to go to several places here. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 6. Are you with me? All right, let's read this. This is Jesus speaking in verse 6. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Can it be more crystal clear? If you are a habitual practicing idolater, practicing idolatry. What is idolatry? Image worship. Whether it's a graven image or it's a picture, whatever it may be. If you kiss it, if you bow before it, if you honor it, you are an idolater. Listen, granted, it doesn't just stop with the Roman Catholics. There are a lot of Christians, Protestant Christians, evangelical Christians, who are the same way about rock bands, music bands. They're the same way about their famous celebrity preacher. They don't say something about their preacher, their favorite preacher, even though he might be preaching complete heresy. Don't say anything about him, then they get mad at you. Right? You know, it's interesting that idolatry is defined as image worship. Boy, don't we worship Hollywood actors? They're not even who they pretend to be. It's just an image they present to you. I mean, we find out they're crazy and suicidal and Satanist and everything else, but, you know, Jim Caviezel. Jim Caviezel played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, which had terrible Roman Catholic overtones in it. But Jim Caviezel, everybody thinks, Jim Caviezel. And he gets up and basically preaches the same thing the Pope did the other day. It doesn't matter what you are. See, this Pope's gone even further. This Pope said it plainly. We transcribed his comment that pluralism, when he was in front of the Constitution Hall in Philadelphia, that pluralism is what will lead to peace. You know what pluralism is? See, most people don't even know. That's all religions have the truth. All religions lead to the same God. Oh, they're sucking you in. They're just sucking the world in to what's coming. But see this right here? Idolaters go to hell. Oh, Pastor Dean, you're just too strong. I didn't write it. The Apostle John wrote it in 95 A.D. in the book of Revelation, because he knew it would still be a problem. We're not beyond it in the end of time at the second coming of Jesus. In fact, see, why is this important? Go over to Revelation 13 real quick. Revelation 13. I've talked about this often. The Bible talks about these two beasts coming up out of the sea who are going to lead the world into the final idolatry. You know what the final idolatry is? It's to the Antichrist and to his world government and to taking that mark in your right hand and your forehead. That's the final act of idolatry that's going to happen. In fact, the Bible says taking that mark is equivalent to worshiping the beast. If you take it, you're saying, I submit, I honor, I pledge allegiance, I worship, I revere, I pay homage to the system of the beast, the Antichrist, very plainly. But see, that's not the only thing. Do you know that the Bible says that there's two individuals who are going to lead this thing? One is called the Antichrist or the beast, and the other one's called the false prophet. The beast will primarily be a political leader. The false prophet is the spiritual leader of this final deception. And this is what it says about that spiritual leader. Revelation 13, here he talks about the first beast in the first few verses. And then he says this, he talks about the second beast. Now, the second beast, I believe, is the Pope, and whoever is the final Pope. And this is what he says about it, right here, verse 11. Revelation 13, 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. The dragon's the devil, so he looks like he has two horns. He tries to look like he's a lamb. He tries to look like the representative of Christianity. Because the lamb is a symbol both of Jesus and of his people. So this is telling us he's trying to look like a lamb, but what comes out of his mouth is from the dragon, from Satan. That's why this pope, you know what's coming out of the mouth of this pope? I could quote, what's coming out of the mouth of this pope when he says, even atheists will go to heaven. The Bible says the complete opposite. You must believe in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. You have to repent and make him the Lord of your life. You can't keep living in sin and unbelief. But the Pope never says that. He says you can even be an atheist and go to heaven. Just do good. That is the dragon speaking. That is Satan speaking through him. Like a lamb. But a dragon. See, it's amazing how the Bible is so specifically clear. And then he says this about this lamb that speaks like the dragon. He says, he will exercise all the power of the first beast before him. And he will cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. He says he will cause the earth and everyone in the earth to worship the first beast. I mean, he's going to get you. If you don't follow Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength in the Word of God, he's going to get you to bow, worship, revere, to pledge your allegiance to the first beast, which is the world government and the Antichrist. And they're not even going to stop there. This is why the Pope is perfect for this job. Because look what it says after that. Verse 13, it says this. This individual who's going to point everyone to the first beast says he will do great wonders so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of all men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, and listen to this, that they should make an image to the beast. So what he's going to say here is this false prophet, this second beast, this like a lamb speaking as a dragon is going to say, not only do you need to pledge allegiance and go along with the program of the United Nations and this new world leader, but you need to make an image of the beast. Take a picture, print one off. The Germans in World War II had pictures of Adolf Hitler in their home and almost like little shrines. So when the Gestapo would come in, they could go, no, we're Heil Hitler, we were the Fuhrer. And if they went into a home, if the SS troops went into a home and the Gestapo and they didn't see an image of Adolf Hitler, you were in trouble. You disappeared. You got stuck on a train, buried in a shallow grave somewhere. The same thing's coming. Make an image. You better have it. You better have it in your home, on your phone, on your computer. You hear me? That's why I see the Pope is all about pictures. Oh, you have a picture of Mary? He's got it on his plane. Carry it around with you. A little statue. Make you an image. Get your Play-Doh out. Make you a little idol. Right? But this, he's going to be, it says, think about this. Think about this. Do you know the September 28th edition? Find this picture for me. Right there. The September 28th cover coming up. I guess that's today. I guess it comes out today. Time Magazine. Time Magazine has the Pope with the sunburst Eucharist thing up there doing his hocus pocus. And you know what it says on the side of it? The New Roman Empire. The global reach of the Pope. His influence is unreal. But see, the influence is subtle because the influence is, oh, let me kiss the children. Let me get out and bless the crippled. Let me wash the feet of the prisoners. All for the cameras, though. And every stupid human being on the earth says, oh, he's so wonderful. He's so godly, he's so humble, while he sits on a throne of gold, with gold, solid gold, encrusted jewels. I'm sitting here going, he's telling us to let in all the immigrants, have no legal immigration, just let everybody pour in, while he stands behind 30, 40, and in some places the Vatican wall is 100 feet high, guarded by Swiss Army guards. Let him let them all in Vatican City. We can't take everybody. Certainly not Muslims. Do you see it? There it is. The Bible foretold in the end there would be the revived or the new Roman Empire. And the Pope would be part of it, as well as the Muslim Antichrist would be part of it. And that the nations would unite into a one world government called the United Nation. It's not hard to figure out. See, folks, when Satan's really working good is when he appears to be, he tries to appear to be holy and religious. Folks, listen to me. There are pastors and people that some of you are even fooled by right now. They appear pious and religious and they sound good, but their heart is full of idolatry. And you know what American pastors are full of? The idolatry of success. Not the gospel. I'm not going to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach what will grow my church. Let me show you a couple of other things. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Just a couple more passages here. We're going to finish. See, some of you, listen. You know, King Solomon, when he got into idolatry, he didn't forsake the Lord. You know that? How many of you know that? He still worshiped the Lord God, Jehovah. He just added some other things. See, that's why you can say, well, no, wait a minute, Pastor Dean. I worship Jesus. The virgin's not first. I just honor her because she's the mother of Jesus. No, you're adding something. You're adding something. Not one passage in the Bible instructs you to pray to anyone but God. Even the Catholic Bible doesn't. The only place you find this doctrine is in the papal bulls of the popes. And you know what Jesus said? If you worship him, but using doctrines and commandments of men, you worship him in vain. You hear me? I mean, you can worship Jesus and it be worthless? Yes, if you've added something. You don't get to add what you want. There's no Jesus and the emperor. But Pastor Dean, I prayed to Pope John Paul II and got healed. Yeah, you got a demonic healing. And you have demons. And one of the reasons, listen to me, I'm going to show you this. But the Bible is very clear, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. I'm just going to, you can look at that one. But Paul said this, speaking of idolatry, he said, if you participate in any type of idolatry, any type of compromise, he said, you are fellowshipping with demons. You see that? He said, but I say that the things, this is 1 Corinthians 10, 20, but I say that the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. He was talking about them sacrificing to their idols. And matter of fact, the children of God, if you go to Acts 15, when there was the debate of what should the Gentiles, what law should the Gentiles, do the Gentiles have to be circumcised? Do they have to keep the law of Moses? And when the apostles conferred together, basically what they came down to for the New Testament church was that there were several things. We were not to commit idolatry. We were not to even eat things sacrificed to idols. And we were to stay away from fornication, which includes all sexual immorality, that word. And we were to stay away from, we weren't to eat animals that were strangled, and we weren't to partake in drinking of blood. This is what Satanists do. Why? Because that's the command of God. See, they want to break the command of God. So that verse right there, you know what that verse proves? The moment you do yoga, you bow to the sun, you commit the sin of idolatry, you're bowing, worshiping. The moment the Pope bows to Mary, kisses the statue, the picture. I mean, I've got pictures of entire, I mean, we're talking about masses of priests with a picture of Mary up there. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of them laying on the floor out in front of that picture. The moment you do those things, you are fellowshipping with demons. You open the door to demons. This is why it's so hard for Roman Catholics to leave Roman Catholicism, because there is a spiritual connection that is demonic that holds them in bondage. Even the partaking of Mass, the way they teach it, is not communion like we have. It is idolatry because they believe that that cookie and that blood literally becomes the blood and body of Jesus and can be worshipped and is worshipped. It's put in a little tabernacle and they worship it. They bow down in front of the cookie. So they worship the cookie, they worship the wine, they worship the sunburst, which when they put the cookie, you know that thing they call the Eucharist? And they put the cookie in the middle of it and it looks like the sun? Straight from Egypt, straight from the Pope's hat he wears, the weird looking, when he turns it, looks like a fish. The fish hat. It comes all the way from Nimrod, from ancient Babylon. That's what he wore. Don't tell me Rome's not mystery Babylon. Everything about them, from the staff, the Babylonian kings carried, had a little pine cone on it, and would be crooked. Look at the Pope's staff. Look at Pope John Paul's staff. Look at the staff of Francis Pinecone, the symbol of fertility, which the obelisk in Vatican Square is the symbol of the male reproductive organ. Taken from, do you know where they took it from? Where the Roman Catholics took it and brought it there? You know where it came from? Egypt. You know where Egypt got it from? Babylon. In fact, the reason they designed their building, you know how the basilica is designed with that brown? I know I'm getting pretty graphic this morning, but listen to me. This is what they teach. That the Roman building with the round top, you know, that's supposed to be the womb of Ishtar, the goddess Ishtar, and the obelisk, you get the picture. What did Ishtar and Nimrod create? The Whore of Babylon. She's right in the middle of all that. All right? Let me read this. I said to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is very important. Listen to me. Look at that. See? That's going back to the ancient priest of Dagon, which was the god of the Philistines. But the Philistines got it. You know, the Philistines, they were from the ancient Hittites. You know where the ancient Hittites came from? Ancient Babylon, Sumeria. So it all originated. Every of these images came from ancient Babylon. And they have just been passed down to every false religion that would rise. Right? The mitre hat from Babylon. Yep. Now let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. The Apostle Paul, writing here, he says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, sexual immorality. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that you have that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, I have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus, to deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump." Now let's drop down. Verse 9. "I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators." Then he clarifies. He said, "I told you, don't hang out with people who are living in sin." But then he goes on to clarify. He said, "Wait a minute. I'm not talking about people who don't profess to be saved. You have to hang out. You have to work with them. You have to go. If we're going to reach the world, we have to be able to go be with them sometime." That's not what he's talking about. He clarifies it and he says this. He says, verse 11, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company any man that is called a brother. If any man calls himself a Christian brother," or a woman, a Christian, anybody says, "I am a Christian, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, but they are a practicing fornicator, or they're covetous, they're greedy and selfish, or they are an idolater, or a railer," that means a cursing, violent person, "or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat." Now, let's just pause right there. This is hardly practiced within the church. But the Bible is clear that if a brother or a sister in Christ who says, "I'm a Christian," whether they are or not, it's irrelevant. But if they say, "I am a Christian," and they are a fornicator or an adulterer or a homosexual, they're practicing sexual immorality, and they won't repent and they won't get out of it, and you've talked to them and other people have talked to them, and they still won't repent and get out of it. And the same goes for idolatry or being or a drunkard. A lot of Christians want to drink all the time. Listen, once you've been corrected and talked to, listen, there comes a point where it says, "I can't eat with you. I can't even go to your house. I can't be around you. I can't do anything. I got to go." Because we do that not to be mean, but to show them this is serious, and you have to take this sin seriously, because this sin will separate you from God forever and put you in hell. And that's why in times I've had to put people out of the church, because that's what this instructs me to do. It goes on down to say, take away from among yourselves that wicked person. And it's not to be mean, but it's to show that God is serious and the church is serious, and we're not supposed to tolerate forever in believers ongoing practicing of sins that are unto eternal death. It's just not supposed to be allowed. But back up to that. This one is never paid any attention to. You know, I saw at the White House when the Pope arrived the pictures, the video, of T.D. Jakes and Rick Warren together. They even took a little selfie. Just giddy like little schoolgirls. We're here with the Pope and Barack Obama. And I remember when Pope Francis was elected and Rick Warren tweets, I saved the tweet. We have a Pope. No, we don't. I don't know what we you're talking about. But you better not be talking about the church of Jesus Christ, the true church. You better not be talking about me. Because we ain't in this. It must be you and that mouse in your pocket. It's not me. Right? We have a Pope. Let me tell you something. If Pope Francis walked through that door right there, stick my finger in his face, and I would say, are you going to repent of your idolatry and your blasphemy and your false teaching? Are you going to repent to Jesus and stop the insanity and publicly repent? And if he looked at me and said, no, he should really not try to speak English either. But I would say, get out. Get out. Get out of here. See, I've been around famous people. I've met famous people. I've been around famous people, even very famous preachers. And you know what I found out? When they sweat, they still stink. They're people. The Pope is nothing but another person. And still poops and pees. He is not Holy Father. Now, let me give you the name for him. He's Chief Idolater. He is false prophet, deceiver of souls. Will give an account in eternity for everyone he's led to hell. The command, go to Revelation 18, and this is the final verse for today. Sorry, but I'm fired up. You know what I get fired up about? I get fired up about anybody. I don't care who they are. Pope, Francis, Rick Warren, Joel Osteen. I don't care who they are. Mike Bickle, anybody else pushing the Roman Catholic Church. I don't care. I don't care how much good they have done. You know, Solomon did a lot of good for God until he fell away and got into sin and idolatry and error. So just because somebody starts out right doesn't mean they're going to finish right. I had somebody on my Facebook just say, oh, I can't believe you're against Mike Bickle. His teachings changed my life. And I said, well, I didn't say he didn't start out right, and I didn't say he wasn't sincere, and I didn't say he never preached anything that's true. But I know what he's doing now. I know what he pushes now. Right? Revelation chapter 18. This is the command to all that are within, trapped within this whore of Rome, this whore of Babylon. Chapter 18, let's read. We'll just read from verse 1. He says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth, and that fornication can mean idolatry as well, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Come out of her, my people. Now, what's interesting about this, I can tell you this. There's a popular teaching going on now that America is Mystery Babylon. But I'm going to tell you why it cannot be that way. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe America spiritually has become Sodom and Gomorrah, and we are going to be judged. But we are not Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18. That is not who we are in Bible prophecy. Not it. It's clearly the Roman Catholic Church, chapter 17, identifies her as their colors being purple and red, not red, white, and blue. The cardinals wear red, and the bishops wear the purple. It says that she is the city on seven hills. Revelation, I mean, come on. City, not a nation, a city. And then he defines it even further and says, in her is found the blood of all the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. She's been killing saints, the Roman Empire, in the beginning of the first century, all the way to now. She is a murderer of the saints. I was reading the history of it again this morning. What the Roman Catholic Church did to true Protestant believers. For the Jesuits were founded to destroy the Protestant Church. By Ignatius Loyola in the 1500s. That was the purpose of the Jesuits, and now you have a Jesuit pope for the first time. He's destroying it through his subtle deception. But it says here, come out of her, my people. Now, let me say this. I know within the Roman Catholic Church are a lot of very sincere, very devout, very godly and good and decent people that want to know God, that want to follow Jesus, but that either were raised in that or got caught up in it. There's a lot of good people in it, but that does not mean that we ignore it. We are to preach what this book says. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not receive her plagues and her judgment and the wrath of God upon you. Come out of that idolatry. Come out of that deception. Come out of that false Christianity and that false religion. Come out from under the doctrines of men. I'm afraid that instead of many coming out of the Roman Catholic Church in this hour, many came out in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. There was like a revival. And many did come out of the Roman Catholic Church. Some of them I'm friends with on Facebook. Many people that tell, I used to be Roman Catholic. I came out of the Roman Catholic Church back in the 70s. But I'm afraid that the falling away that we're in right now and the great deception, especially of Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis, they were the slickest. I believe that many more are returning to the Great War instead of coming out of it. But this preacher will stand against the great whore. Abraham Lincoln, a lot of people don't know this, Abraham Lincoln was warned by a priest by the name of Charles Chiniqui, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. Chiniqui came out of the Roman Catholic Church in the 1800s. He was a bishop in Canada. And he came out of the church and he wrote some amazing books. He wrote The Priest, The Woman, and The Confessional. He told the horror stories of women coming to confessionals, telling these priests all of their sins and then becoming this lustful connection and the lives that were destroyed. And then he wrote the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome. This man became best friend with President Abraham Lincoln. In fact, Abraham Lincoln asked him to become a spy in the Vatican for him, because Abraham Lincoln knew that the Jesuits were trying to take over the United States of America. In fact, it's on record, Abraham Lincoln said that had it not been for the financial support of the Jesuits to Jefferson Davis and the Confederates, there would never have been a civil war in America. And John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated President Lincoln, was a Roman Catholic. Because Lincoln was fighting the Jesuit agenda to take over America. This is not even hard. See, this is not in your history books, you poor, pitiful children that are coming up. And the real history, you rarely know because they don't want you to know. But see, now, do you know that it's over 60% of our Congress are Roman Catholic? Did you know that a majority of the Supreme Court is Roman Catholic? Did you know that John Boehner, the House Speaker that just resigned the other day, is a Jesuit, graduated from a Jesuit school, and his life mission was to bring the Pope to speak to Congress. You know that almost all of Fox News, a lot of the candidates running for president on the Republican side are Roman Catholic. Jeb Bush says he's Roman Catholic. Jeb Bush is a Satanist, but he says he's Roman Catholic. They succeeded. The Jesuits run our country. They run the media. That's why it was 24/7 on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and they were just, Holy Father, he's so humble, he's so wonderful. Truth is hard, isn't it? The whole world is deceived by lies. Well, I guess I ought to quit. You know, Chiniki, or however you say his name, that former priest, he begged Abraham Lincoln to increase his Secret Service protection. He knew there were plots within the Vatican against Abraham Lincoln. He begged him. Abraham Lincoln was determined to walk around like a normal. We see how that ended for him. I mean, I can tell you, there's a Catholic plot to blow up the entire English Parliament one time. They put the bombs, the gunpowder and the bombs all underneath there, and they caught the man lightning. The Jesuit oath is to stop Protestant Christianity, the spread of true Christianity, to take over every government, every king, and every Congress, to do whatever is necessary. If it takes, they say, the bullet, the dagger, the poison vial, whatever it takes, they will do. Look it up. The Jesuit oath is a matter of public record. It was entered into the congressional record years ago in a hearing. Let me tell you what. People think about the CIA and the Mossad and MI6 and MI5. No. The Jesuits, no one touches them when it comes to intelligence and assassination. That's why I believe Keith Green. I'll tell you to this day, Keith Green, 1982, he was well-known evangelist, musician. He was leading the American youth. He was leading them to Jesus and to the mission, become missionaries. He was one of the most powerful revivalists of that time period. And he had the most widely circulated magazine. It was called Last Days Ministry, Last Days Magazine. It was the most circulated Christian magazine in the world at that time. Think about that. And he began a series on the Roman Catholic Church. And before that, what could be finished? Now, he printed and published several of them. But before he finished the entire series, he got in a small plane, and that plane went down and crashed. Killed him and two of his children. And to this day, I will always believe, I can't prove it, but I believe the Roman Catholic Church just was killed. They rigged his plane because, let me say something, if the Roman Catholic Church is your enemy, or the CIA, or, don't get on a small plane like this. It's like their specialty. And they'll even take out an airliner if they have to. But I can't tell you how many people you spoke out against the Jesuits, or you spoke out against communists, or the communists in our government, you spoke out against that, and your plane tried to get off the ground. Now, that's what happened to all the evidence against George Herbert Walker Bush. His little pedophile ring he was involved in. All the evidence, certain people went to prison, but all the evidence with him went down in a plane crash, burn up. So, you live in an evil world, people, with evil men. Read your Bible, and you won't be deceived. You hear me? That's why I don't care. They can put on the white robes. Fish hat, the gold rod, and walk around like he's the shepherd of the church. You're a devil. Amen? All right. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. That's true. There is no man or woman, not Mary, not Joseph, not any of the popes, Pope John Paul II, or anybody worthy of worship. You said we were not to make any graven images of anything, to bow down to it. Father, you said the sin of idolatry would separate us from you and damn us to hell forever. It's a serious matter. God, I pray today, and those that will hear this message, they're Roman Catholic. Lord, you love them. You love the Roman Catholic. You love them and you want them to be set free from a satanic, deceptive, idolatrous religious system full of the doctrines of men. God, I pray that they will hear this message today and realize that the Bible, the Word of God, declares they must come out of her. For the day of Rome's judgment is coming. The Bible says the city of Rome will be destroyed in 1 hour. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that many will come out of the Roman Catholic Church. They will make Jesus Lord of their lives, not Mary. No more praying to Mary. No more praying to idols. No more praying to dead people. But they'll come out of that darkness and that sin and that demonic mess and just follow you, Lord, and your word. I pray that today. I pray even within the Protestant church that many will come out of idolatry to the world the idolatry of self, the idolatry to success and prosperity and stars and musicians and everything else. Lord, help us come out of idolatry and make Jesus first and only Lord, Master of our lives. Father, we praise you. Thank you for your word. Pray it today in Jesus' name. Yes. I wonder today how many churches will talk about the idolatry of Rome in America today. How many do you think? There'll be some, there'll be a few, but not very many. You won't see Joel grinning teeth talking about it. Listen, this is not, I'm going to say this again before we close out here. This is not to be mean to Catholics. I love them. I want them to know the truth, free, dark deception. Marley knows. Are demons involved when you worship that stuff? Matter of fact, some of the worst demons I've ever cast out of people were Roman Catholics. My wife is giving a big. It's a bondage. Well, we're done. I just want to say this. I guess we will pray. The offering basket's back to give you tithes and offerings. We need it. Rent's due in just a couple of days. So we ask you to obey the Lord in that regard. Patrick, would you pray over the offering this morning and dismiss us, and we'll be out of here.